Okay. Call this meeting to order. It's July 9th. It's 1:12 PM. It's for the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting. If we could have a roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Potts? Congresswoman Edwards? Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present. So we have a quorum. I think Congresswoman Edwards will be joining us here in just a few minutes. And Congressman Potts is, said he might try to give us a call in. He's out of state. Okay, so I've got a message now from Congresswoman Edwards that says, ask for the code.
0049, there is no code.
Oh. It's asking her for a code. There we go. Just told her there wasn't one. Okay, we'll go ahead with prayer. If everybody will join me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that we share to help our Osage people. We ask that you watch over us and guide us, that you watch over all of our Osage people, especially our elders and our children and those in service. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes.
Congresswoman
Whitehorn.
I've already read through the minutes, and I have a question. And on the first page under papers, looks like we realized there was a motion to approve the payable for code publishing in the amount of $1,340.80. The motion was made and seconded. I don't see a vote count there. Is there any ratification we need to do, or is that just, has it been left off? Do we never vote?
It's after.
It's after the prayer.
Goodness sakes. Okay. Vote was taken. Okay. So sorry, didn't read down there. It's like, oh, we left something undone. Then I move to approve the minutes of May 28th as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. And I don't see any payables.
Really?
I don't guess we've had a payables required of committee approval.
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Okay. All right, so we'll move on past payables to travel. We do have one travel request. This is for training for our assistant clerk. We talked about her, I believe, in the last meeting about seeing that she gets some training. This training is going to overlap with the first part of session, but I feel that it's important enough to send her on some training. And this particular training is the National Association of Parliamentarians. Need to see how the committee feels.
Overlaps by how, when does she leave in relation to the first day of session? And
from 9:04 to 9:08.
First day of session is the 3rd. So she would be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
But she would be here to help you get things ready for session, I think, would be as important.
And we do have Time C, who's come on as a part-time assistant, and she was pretty good during special session. She kicked in.
Well, if you've talked it over with staff and you feel comfortable with it, then
they did. They felt like, especially after what we just went through with special session, that we could manage for a handful of days.
Yeah, there's not a lot of volume
at that point.
At that point in session, yeah. So,
and okay. And I do think it's important that this training would be good for her. Probably good for all of us.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to approve the travel authorization in advance for Dana Merle to attend the National Association of Parliamentarians Biennial Convention from 9:04 to 9:08 in the amount of $1,420.24.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. All right. The other, we had talked to before about training for a clerk. And the question to her was about trying to get training for the rest of the staff and to see how that might play out. This is an independent study course. We received the DVDs. The only person that is registered at this point would be Shanna, who would receive the certification. The others could observe and buy in, but we could also go ahead and pay for them to receive the certification out of the course. And it's a pick and choose, right? You work your way up the tiers.
The way it is you do, it's divided into two sections. So you would complete the first section, and then once that's complete, you would complete the second section of it. The second session is more of the research and learning how to research things in Westlaw. And once you receive that certification, you can add on to it by getting more specialized certifications, like for wills or other things of that nature. But this is the initial certification that would be required.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So on page 25 of the document I'm looking at, it has DVD 1435. So is that all-inclusive of both of those sessions?
Yes.
Okay. And then I also see required course textbooks. Is that included in the initial?
1435,
no. So those are additional. I'm not seeing a total cost out on that.
It's real close to $2,000, I think, when you add it all up.
Yeah, books look like they're a little over $300.
Well, there's two pages of them.
Oh, are there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that looks like another $300.
So,
may I? Yes, please.
Did we put this on the table, or did we not approve this already?
We did not approve it. Postponed it.
The discussion was as far as the rest of the staff or any other staff members that we might want to include in this type of training. I don't know, Congressman Walker.
Well, is there, could they take it concurrently? Is that what? Thought maybe the benefit would be? Or?
That was the thought, but it's truly just an independent study. We do receive the DVDs, so we have those. But like I said, the certification's what my concern is. If we're going to do something like this and we're going to want to include the other staff, yes, they could view the DVDs and they could receive the training, but they wouldn't get certified. And so.
Do you have a preference?
I really don't have a preference. I think we had some discussion on the, because the paralegal is the end result, right? And we did talk a little bit about the training that would be received by the clerks and their ability to perform at that point with this certification. What would improve their performance, or what would this training do for them? Let Ms. Walker, she could probably explain it better than I could, what she would achieve by having this training.
I think that, I feel that any additional training that could be utilized, whether it's me assisting in research for Congress members or assisting Trey with research, that would be a benefit. But also in my job description, it says that a paralegal certification would be preferred in my job description as well. So I just honestly felt that would be one more step toward the education that was preferred with my position.
So it could be a case if we let Shanna go ahead with this and receive that, well, then we have an assistant clerk and we're sending her through the other training this year, and maybe she could pick it up at a future time if that's part of her job description as well.
Makes sense to me.
I think it's a good idea, and I think that also hopefully the textbooks won't change. and we'll possess the DVD and the textbooks for future training for our... So it's an investment in staff that want to fulfill the paralegal requirement, not requirement, but suggestion in our job description for the Clerk of Congress. So I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
How's our budget holding out to take this?
We have it in our budget.
We have it in our budget. And it comes out of?
Conferences.
Okay.
All right. So would somebody like to make a motion to that, or?
So were we looking at the $13.95 option? Is that the recommendation?
No, it'll require the textbooks too. So we're looking at about $2,000.
We don't have a definite cost on the books. So what if we just said up to $2,000 for the?
I think that would cover it. We could add it up real quick. I'm also talking to Congresswoman Edwards at the same time this is all going on, so I apologize.
Do you have your calculator up? Could you calculate the cost on the textbooks so we can make this motion?
Can we call her direct?
Yeah, and there's some on the other page too.
Excuse me. If you'd give us just a minute, we're going to go ahead and try to call Congresswoman Edwards, see if we can get her from this end.
Well, Megan's adding the total up for us.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I would hate for the cost of the books to change. I don't know any reason why they would, but just saying if we get dollar amount specific.
Well, we can get a good estimate of where we are, and then you can add it to cover anything that might be additional on that.
That'll work.
You there?
I think we heard her, didn't we?
Can you hear us?
Hello? Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay, good. Congresswoman Edwards has joined. Okay, so we're going to have a total here in just a moment. Okay.
The total for the textbooks and the legal research requirement would be $739.
And then the 13, can you add 13? Was it? No, 14. 1435 to that.
That would bring the sum to $2,174.
All right, do we have that amount in for training in our budget?
Yes.
Now, was there any discussion, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of something real quick. Was there any discussion about a limit to the amount of dollars for training for any one individual during the year? No, it's just a line item.
I don't recall it ever being
okay.
Divvied out.
Okay, all right. So we have a total of $2,174. Congressman Walker.
So should we establish an amount of not to exceed $2,500 for the paralegal training.
I guess we could be. We do seem to have a fixed amount. There's no travel involved.
Okay. What's the total?
2,174.
Okay.
Five.
74.
Okay.
2,174?
Yes.
That's for paralegal training?
Yes.
And it's for Dana? I mean,
Shanna.
For Shanna. Okay, I make a motion to authorize the expenditure of $2,174 for paralegal training for Shanna Walker.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any continued discussion? Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Yes.
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 All right. Thank you all very much. We got that taken care of. Next item on the agenda is about surplus equipment. Recently, I don't remember when we were notified, but we've been notified that PRT on the fourth floor is in need of our space that's remaining on the fourth floor that we've been using for storage. So I took a little trip up there and took a look around, because at that point I was thinking about storage units or finding an abandoned building, something to put this stuff in. And we really got to looking around up there, and I'd like the committee to maybe go up there with me after this meeting for just a few minutes. To me, 90, maybe 99% of it is surplus. It's really just a bunch of chairs, a bunch of old chairs. There's some bank equipment up there. There's some old desks. We might be able to fish a few chairs out that we might think would be beneficial, but for the most part, most of them are damaged in some way, especially the ones, the high backs, a lot of the executive chairs, those are done. That there are some armchairs and things up there. So I think it's talking about some minimal pieces. And those we could probably find a place to stash them around the
break room.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff. And so I really feel like we can just surplus the rest of them. Now, what's the other percentage? Or is there are boxes that looks like from when the clean out went on or the move went on from over there? It's just kind of boxes of stuff. I didn't really notice a lot of file. There's a couple of file cabinets, and we talked about those, that the stuff in those file cabinets can probably go in the empty file cabinets that are down here with us. And the boxes of stuff, we just need to plow through. Looks like there's some supplies in there, some stuff left over from people's desks, some books and things like that. But I think the staff can, we can just plow through those and see if there's really anything pertinent in them. So I felt really good about that. We won't have to rent a space, and we could surplus all those chairs and old desks. I mean, they're old, old desks to the nation, if I can get the committee to go along. And so you're welcome. We'll take a run up there after meeting and just confirm that that's what we see. And that way we can get that out of there. They're ready to remodel the rest of it because of the new grant they got, and they'll have a bunch of counselors coming in. So that's the report on that piece. Yes, Congressman Walker.
I thought that was a temporary space for them.
Nope, I don't think so. I think it has become a permanent space. They like it. Their clients seem to not have any problem finding them or being able to get to them. And they've got like five counselors coming on staff. And if we open up the rest of that space, then they'll have the room for it.
So they're going to remodel that space with a grant they got?
No. It's not really a remodel. I think they're just going to clean it up more than anything. They might put in a partition or something, but they're basically just going to clean it up. It's like four or five office spaces that opens up. It's quite a bit of room, and we've just got junk piled up in there. So, and really, I'm not even positive it's all of our stuff. I'm wondering if a lot of it was the bank.
Some of it was the banks, and the rest of it was OFPR, except for chairs that were our old Congress table chairs.
Right. And so we thought about bringing the OFPR stuff, anything OFPR, we've got a space we can put it up there for them. So that's talking about furniture and desks. That's not talking
do
about...
Do we have chairs up in that meeting room that we have up on the second floor?
I don't think so, or there might
like
be one.
Three or four, and that's it.
So we can bring some down.
I'm just saying those chairs were pretty good chairs, even if the arms are messed up. Those were nice chairs. We might want to keep those and put them in the conference room.
We will, and then we talked about bringing some down to the break room. And we'll just kind of stash any good chairs we can find, any corner we can find a place to put them.
Move to authorize the second speaker to surplus any and all furniture and other items in the fourth floor
of
Congress.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Can I amend that to and or dispose of?
Yes.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's the furniture. The other piece of this is equipment. So, Megan has gone through and taken a look. We have some equipment that's already been wiped out as far as hard drives and things. It's really ready to go out the door if we can get it out the door. And then we have a bank of stuff that has information in it. Now, this is in outside the OFPR equipment. We're hanging on to all of it and its server. But this is outside of that. All of the random laptops and computers that have been used through Congress over the years. We still seem to have them. So I was thinking that we could pull those drives. A drive doesn't cost much, and that's the easiest way to clean one out. Just pull the drive off and destroy it. We could get Jeremy to come down here and clean those out and get them ready to move out and access all those to the tribe. They're older machines, but they might, you know, especially the laptops. I would think they would probably be able to find some use for the laptops. Let's see if we can do that. I think every
question.
Sure. Congressman Edwards.
When you wipe out the hard drive, how do you use the computer?
You don't. You have to buy a new hard drive and stick it in there.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. And then there's tons of keyboards and monitors. All of those things are just taking up space. They don't really have any value for us down here. I think we might have a couple of computers that are going to be on the list for replacement by the next election. And then, of course, then we go through that whole thing again of swapping out computers for new Congress members and stuff. So if we could get in this kind of routine of shipping them out, we won't be storing them anymore. Any discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I think that's a good idea. I just think that we need to maybe hold a couple of the newest, the better pieces of equipment for that transition of when a new member comes in. They'll at least have something to work on temporarily until they get their computer. So
okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we just need, you know, one or two
generally
backup.
We keep all of the old Congress members' computers at their stations until the new Congress members' computer has come in so that they're using that old member's stuff.
Okay.
We have computers that are from 2010. We've got laptops that are very old. We've got laptops that are very old that we cannot use at all.
Right.
Okay.
Can I ask you? Some of the equipment is OFPRs as far as like keyboards, mouses, and like computer monitors. So we weren't going to get rid of any of their like modems.
Right.
But like she was saying, their computer monitors are like from 2000, they're old.
They're the old box.
They're going to need new computers.
Flat screens. And
so some of them would be OFPRs.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. But just trinket stuff.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Is there a motion you would like to?
Yes. I think I would like to have that in a motion.
Do you have one that you would recommend how it?
That we move to surplus any unused equipment at this time. At our discretion, maybe.
Move to authorize the second speaker to surplus any congressional equipment that will no longer be utilized.
Second.
Okay. Does that work for everybody?
Works for me.
All right. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Then we can get that moved out of here. We have, I think I mentioned it last time, what we're trying to do with the rules and procedures is to go through them and consolidate them to coordinate with policy. So the policy and rules kind of equal out. We have one section done, and we can show you kind of how we did this. We met as a group, each took a section. This is the first section that was completed, and the clerk went through and pulled everything out of the rules and place them under, where is it? What is it called? It's the first section.
I don't know, on this.
It's been a while since I've done it, so.
On this, it has a question mark on the section number of the policy. Mm-hmm. What's here in front of us?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a handout?
Yes, there is. We'll shoot it over to you. So before we move forward with anything else, I wanted the committee to kind of see where we were headed with this. Okay, give us just a second. We thought we had it. Sorry, it's been before the June dances that we looked at this, and I can't call the name of it or anything. I think I mentioned before, and while she's looking this up, that we're also looking at a couple of software systems. Granicus is one of them. To be able to, once we get this reorganized, be able to move it into a software system like that. That's the system, I don't know if y'all are familiar with it. Looked at it a few years ago, I believe.
We didn't have an in-depth example of it as members of Congress as the staff did in the second speaker, but I'm familiar with the software platform.
And that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to get us to a point with them where we can see a demonstration of exactly how it works. And so I've been talking to them, and it's not moved as fast as I'd hoped, but it would organize our policies and our procedures with our rules. And that's the step that we're working on to hope to get it in line to do something like that. And it also ties in with writing law, and it ties in with minutes and communications over meetings and schedules. It's a working tool. All those paper processes that we're doing right now to set up committees and minutes and drafts and things is all being done on paper individually by the clerks. And so you have to... It's like the tracking bars that we look at. They have to plug those things in. And Granicus would replace that.
And I did receive a phone call from one of the people from Granicus, and they sent me four videos that have different portions of it, and four or five of them that I can forward to the committee if they would like to review those.
I think that's the best step to take next.
Or I can send them to the clerk or whatever you'd like to do.
I think let's distribute them to the committee, and that way you can view them on your own and kind of get we can get a good familiarity with it. But that kind of drove this, and then plus when I was going through with them and talking about policy and procedure and rules, nothing seemed to parallel.
No.
And so that's really what this is. It's just an organization to try to parallel it with the policies and procedures.
Well, policies and procedures should parallel with rules.
Yes.
Definitely. But can you also give us the history of where we were with Granicus last? I was trying to remember.
Oh, that was years ago, and I think it was just dropped at the time. Nobody was...
It was being looked at when I was very first hired, and we had gone as far as having them come from their headquarters and doing some training, and... I had actually clerked a couple of meetings and did the minutes the way we normally do them and did them in Granicus, and they had a server here for us to where we could see how it would present itself on a website, and I was really excited, and I know there were some issues with when Trey would develop legislation in it. It wasn't numbering each line. That was an issue, and there was an issue with... inserting tables, Excel tables for the budgetary legislation. So I know that those were two things that were pretty severe issues, but I thought we were moving forward with it, and then it came to a screeching halt. So I'm not positive if those were the things that brought it to a halt or if there was something else. But one of the questions I did ask the gentleman that called me today had to do with those two items. Can you number every line? Can we insert a table into it? And I also asked, because there were some questions about how we were going to differentiate between resolutions and bills, and he was going to talk to one of his supervisors because he thought that they had already made changes to accommodate those things.
And that's what we were hoping for. When they first introduced me to Granicus, they talked about some of the issues, and so we're hoping years later now that they have overcome some of those things. And... I think that the next best steps is to review those videos, and then we can all get back together. This is being used at some of the other tribes, so we know it has some compatibility somewhere with what we're doing here. But before we go to the bigger step of bringing people down or getting proposals, let's look at the videos and talk about it on the next agenda.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
One of the other things that I noticed was the database for all of the documents, the document database that we could put all of our communications in, where we weren't even looking at that in the past. We were mainly focused on the legislation and meeting notices and things of that nature. But
I've been working on a database, but if we have something that's already prepared, that's something that would be amazing.
And that it'd be searchable at that point, too. Right. And communications is another big component that Granicus Markets puts out there. Communication, public communication, community communication. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I've been talking about a database for 4 years now.
We're
so
trying to drive it home.
I would be so happy to have one that I could search myself instead of having to wait till our offices are open and say, can you look for this document that maybe came in November of 17?
Sure.
I had the ability to do that in real time, that would be so marvelous for my
work. It would be wonderful.
Is Mr. Gill here today?
Yes, he is.
Do you mind if we have a chat with him about Granicus, too? Because I think he was involved in it.
Okay. I think the clerk's going to run getting it.
Have you guys had a conversation with him about that yet?
I have just been looking at their website and calling them on the phone.
So. I'd like to see what his memory is of it, and I'm excited to have a platform that's going to handle what we do here.
Right.
I think that it's a necessary tool. What we do seems kind of mishmash and insane, how we try to keep it all together here. So if I may, Mr. Gill, we've been having some discussion about Granicus. I think it's been shook to life again. So I'm just curious if you can help us with some memories you had about looking at that system. And I know that it's changed probably over the technology's changed it over the years. So
decided not to use it. We went through quite a process with them. They came to Pawhuska. We did 2 weeks of training with the staff and myself. For the most part, I would say we felt like it was something that we liked and we could get used to. It was, it definitely had a lot of moving parts, and you had to, it had a big learning curve. I felt like we could probably overcome the learning curve and get there. But there was a glitch with their system that they could not overcome that we needed to have happen. And I'm having a hard time recalling what that was.
Okay.
I want to say it was something to do with us being able to manipulate documents to add amendments after a certain point, and we were going to have to redo an entire document, and it threw the whole thing out the window because it wasn't working with our process.
Okay, so when Shannon talked to him, they did overcome a few things. That's not one of the points, I think, that she talked to him about.
I talked to them. When they called today, I talked to them about the numbering, because I remembered the line item or the line numbering was an issue. They couldn't, their program didn't accommodate that, and it didn't accommodate putting tables in. So any of our budgetary legislation was going to require us to insert a PDF and not be able to manipulate it within the program. And the gentleman that I talked to said that he believed they had overcome the table issue and the numbering issue, but he was going to talk to his supervisor and get back with us to let us know for sure. But I didn't, like I told them, I didn't know all the details other than that.
It was, if we're going to go down that road, we definitely need to have some telephone conversations with them. I felt like one of the main reasons to have Granicus was so that, you know, we could have the online versions of the bills. We've kind of got a mixture of that going on right now with what we have online on our website and then the code being through Code Publishing. They told us all along the way, I wish I could remember exactly what it was that they couldn't do, but it upset me quite a bit because it was a question that was asked early on, and they promised us, oh, yes, 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 before we even signed the contract during their sales pitch, you know, yes, yes, we can do that, no problem. That works with our system, and even through the training, yes, and we finally got to a point where I was like, wait, it's not doing what you said it was going to do, and they couldn't overcome it, and that was the end that it, or the reason that it was terminated. I will not believe them if they tell me that they've overcome anything. I will want to see it.
Okay. All right. All right. Good information. Good to know. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I know that we've put you on the spot, and it's been a long time ago since. Right. But so when we amend legislation on the floor, was that the issue, to be able to insert that amendment?
I will, if you want to give me a few minutes to try and go back and find my emails from that time period, I will be happy to do it. I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head.
I don't think we need to do it right. It's necessary to be done right now this minute for you to do that.
I think if you could find them and forward them to everybody, that'll give us the basis in our discussions with them.
But I just want to express, I think, the importance of Mr. Gill being involved in looking at what it can do for us and our process. And, you know, I'm not extremely opposed to changing some processes, because we have the ability to do that if need be, if that makes sense for us to do it that way. I'm not one of these people that, well, that's the way we've always done it, so we have to continue on. If there's a new and better way to be able to do it as far as legislating, I'm open to look at that, and I know it is a learning curve. We're kind of set in our ways, but so I just want him to be involved in our conversations. I think it's very important.
Agree. It's a good idea. All right. Thank you. Yes, if you'll.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So unless somebody has something else they want to bring up, we could leave this discussion and move on and take it up again after we've seen the videos and we get some answers.
Yeah, I think you just need to keep it on the agenda. I'd request that you do so.
Okay. Speaker. Moving forward with it. Thank you. All right. So next on the agenda is the legislative budget. And I'm going to let Ms. Sneed take over at this time and present this to us. Yes. Congresswoman Hardhorn.
I'm still having we still have this before us. Were you just presenting this policy and procedure?
Yes, so this is where we're kind of headed with this. We're not asking you to approve this at this time. What we've done is gone through and grouped up everything that's existing in rules and then added any changes or how we're doing it now, as opposed to what was written in the original.
My question is, as the second speaker for this committee, how do you want to handle this? Do you want to just start pushing these out to us in emails?
Yes.
And giving us a date that
yes.
you would like approval by
yes.
on these, and mm-hmm. so we can review it as a committee before we come and sit here?
Yes.
And know what we're looking at?
Yes.
So could we expect to maybe vote on this at our next CA meeting?
Could be.
Okay.
It could be if we feel like we've really got it down.
Okay.
And so at least this first section, and hopefully we might have a couple of other sections pushed out to you too before the next meeting.
Okay, because I was reading something here and I had a suggestion or a discussion I wanted to have, but if this isn't on the table, really for discussion.
We can email it to you and then you can send thoughts back.
Okay, perfect.
Just start round robbing it.
Thank you. I just kind of want to know how we were going to handle that.
Sure, thanks for bringing that up.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to move on to budget. And I've really kind of pushed the agenda fast because I think this is going to take a little bit of discussion. However, Ms. Sneed discovered some new stuff today, so maybe it's not as dire as I thought it was last week. So, Ms. Sneed, if you want to take on the budget.
Okay, thanks. So, based off ONCR 1917, 2020 projected revenue, and the budget outlays within it, the legislative branch has $2.1 million to budget. And that will be for Congress and OFPR. So in the beginning, we were kind of concerned because it was looking like we were going to have to cut about $100,000. So I went up, but we didn't know what IDC costs were going to be or fringe benefits were going to be. So I went up to accounting on Monday and met with Pam Jester.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did, because I'm not, well, I guess let me backtrack. I'm not able to get into microy anymore here, so I had to go up there to get into it, and that's the only way they can really calculate the IDC and the fringe benefits. And so we just did a rough draft of the OFPR budget and a legislative budget.
What's wrong with microy here?
Let's back up. So when I was here the other day, we were working on that connection, and it didn't come through, so you're having to go up on the hill? So has IT given you any ideas of what the problem is here?
They said that they would work, it would be a week, maybe 2 weeks before they could get to it. I'll touch base with them this week.
To hardwire or to what?
I don't really understand, but so I have to VPN in mm-hmm. to like a a virtual desktop.
Yes.
And within that virtual desktop, there isn't a shortcut to Microy. And I can't get into Microy without that shortcut.
So it's not just a desktop shortcut we're talking about. We're talking about a virtual shortcut that you tap into.
It's a desktop shortcut for the virtual desktop.
Oh, okay. So it is.
And that's the only way. Like, you can't use an H, like a www. Uh-huh. You can't do that. You have to have that shortcut.
And they can't seem to put that on your computer. That's what we were talking about when they said that it refreshed.
So they put it on there, but so I guess there's five virtual machines, and whenever I remote in, I could get any one of them, and they refresh every day, and so it sweeps the shortcut off.
So we had a pretty much of a guarantee from Mr. Kirk that this was possible, and they came down and tested and trialed it and did everything, and we thought we were good to go. And on training day, though, it wasn't your VPN that we used. It was Ms. Fox's VPN, it turns out.
Right.
Hard as I tried to push to make sure it was hers that we got into, we couldn't get into it that day.
Well, and then when I went up there with Pam, I noticed that they also, it looked like she kind of remoted into a desktop, mm-hmm. that had the shortcut. So I don't understand why.
So we really only have about 2 weeks, though, to get this figured out, because the budget should be arriving pretty soon. And if she can't open them, it'll be a problem for us.
So I went up there to work on our budget and get a rough draft to present to you guys today. And like I said, I went up there thinking we were going to cut $110,000. And so we started with OFPR, and I was trying to keep the budget just as it was last year. 2018. And so the only cut I'd made to this compared to where it was last year is I cut $20,000 from professional fees. This was $40,000 last year. But what you'll notice is last year that it was, the budget was $206 for OFPR, and it's $165 for this year, and that's because the IDC rates were 20.66 last year. And this year, they are 20.20, if I recall. So IDC rates have went down, which have helped us tremendously.
Okay. And the other one, too.
Reduction
in benefit.
Well, that was with the legislative budget.
Okay.
So this is OFPR. Only thing, like I said, it's identical to last year. The only change is I cut $20,000 from professional fees. Because I went into this thinking we were going to have to make cuts. So then we did the legislative budget, and again, I kept it exactly how it was last year. No changes. Last year's budget was $2,883,000. This year it's $2,013,000. The changes that were made here, they had the Sergeant of Arms and the receptionist, Tynesy, calculating their fringe benefits as full-time employees. So their fringe benefits each were like $13,000. So after we went in there and removed those, that helped with our fringe benefits. And then again, IDC was cut. So we actually have $36,000 left to budget.
To do something with.
To do something. And again, the numbers I used for both the OFPR and legislative budget, the number I used was from the outlay that Congressman Potts put into the resolution.
And that's your number at the top, the 2.1?
The OFPR and the legislative budget combined would be the 2.1.
Okay. Are you worried about contractual?
That's, yeah, professional fees.
Professional fees.
I think it's probably best placed there, but another question I have is, what do we carry in other expense? I see 5925 other expense. I know that's probably some accounting code, but I think by law that we're supposed to
list out what it's
list out what other expenses are supposed to be.
Last year it was labeled as new employee expenses, advertisement, miscellaneous.
Okay. Do we have a current copy of our revenue and expenditure
sheet right now?
The last one.
Is this it right
here? Did you call for a new one the other day?
That's not it.
No, but she's got one. She can pull up.
I can do it over here. And, yeah, I'm just kind of wanting to see what we've done year over year on our professional fee line. And also, I know that this year code publishing came online. I guess maybe we considered it in the budget for 19, maybe. But that is an additional expense that we have for them to maintain the, so that's all covered. We're good. We have plenty of money in the line for the code publishing, the online portion of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Congresswoman Edwards.
Oh, are the
who else is on the line? Excuse me, Shannon.
According to what they actually use?
Shannon?
Or are they just budgeted at that massive number?
Hold on a second, Shannon. Who else is on the line? Just curious. He's dialed in. Someone said yes.
I called her directly.
Okay. All righty. I'm sorry. Go ahead and ask your question again.
Are we budgeting the benefits for Congress and the staff at the actual number that we know they're taking in terms of the benefits? Or are we budgeting at that maximum number, which I'm opposed to because we pretty much know what our numbers are?
That's where we picked up more funding. So Ms. Sneed can explain that. She did find that out.
So that was just a calculation that was done in MyCroy that they have automatically computed. Like I said, with the two part-time employees we have, they were being calculated as full-time employees, so they were being calculated for benefits and all of those, and so we did go in and remove those for those employees.
But then what is the amount for, is it the same amount as last year?
I didn't ask that question.
Okay. Do you I wonder if it's on that micro form. You said it's calculated. Does it not show the calculation?
No.
So last year, wasn't it like 12,000?
Well, I take that back right here. Here it is.
Did we forward this to Congresswoman Edwards?
No, I can do that.
Okay, we'll forward this document to you, Congresswoman, so you can see what we're looking at.
Thank you. Based on previous discussions, my understanding that they're budgeting cash equivalent is something like $750 a month, and yet I think we are budgeting those people at $1,900 something.
I don't remember it being $1,900, but I do remember it being much higher than that, and it looks like it's because
maybe $1,200.
Yeah, $1,200 I think is what we thought they were doing at month. And that looks kind of like what it's doing now. But the taxes are going to fluctuate for each person.
Right. And there'll be six new members of Congress during this 2020 budget. So you might have six new people that every one of them will want to resource the benefits.
So I really don't know how we can get around it without going ahead and budgeting everybody in there and then just letting it roll back or roll to something else.
Well, I'm back to, we need to look at the Attorney General opinion, see how we're supposed to be doing this, because we want, I believe, not following the Attorney Board.
Okay. Congressman Walker.
Can we look at the revenue and expenditure sheet? That's through May.
Yes.
Do you need a side-by-side comparison? That would help me to be able to look at what we're budgeting and also have the revenue and expenditure sheet up there. Can you do two screens?
And this goes back to my question, whether we had to go off, is whether they're moving all that money into a fund, or what's happening with that money? Does it go back to the general fund, or what happens to it?
Did we ever get an answer on it?
No, we never received an answer, received how they an answer. Handle that. That I can recall.
I can't either.
I do not have an answer, as far as I know.
$269,000. So what was budgeted last year on benefits? $269,000.
Looks like we're almost equal,
mm-hmm.
Just off by a fraction difference.
On that worksheet, it shows the second speaker budgeted at 65. Is that not right?
I don't think it's right. I was just going to mention it later.
She'd said they get all of those amounts from Paycom.
Because that's what's in there currently. Mm-hmm. But that's not what's supposed to be in there currently. And I was told it was adjusted already. So we'll have to get in there and look.
Well, I'm not getting it anymore. I sent that email. We got into that last time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's something we'll check on.
Right, that needs to be adjusted.
Yeah, I would point out that...
I think same thing with speaker.
I would point
out... Yes, Constable Walker.
We're looking at 50% of the budget remaining with a third of the... year remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some opportunity there to cut some costs.
Well, I think she cut it in the fact that they had our part-time employees classified wrong. And there was another piece.
OFPR.
So we did, we have picked up $36,000 in open funding right now to determine if we need it in there or not.
Well, the big one right there is professional fees.
Yes. You have the list.
So what they had listed for professional fees last year was legislative council, IT support, legal services, legislative expenses, and miscellaneous services.
And where are we on those? Where is that line item we're at?
We're at 75% remaining of $289,000.
And what are we budgeted for this year, the same amount?
Correct.
Do you have an inauguration in there?
I'm sorry, say it again.
You have inauguration expense in there?
No, that was, there's a list we have going of those expenses.
Inauguration and equipment.
Yes.
Congress members.
Yes.
And half of the staff. And then
training.
Figuring in how much you want to spend for the women's recognition.
Recognition. Women's recognition. So I think that some of that is going to come out in the last quarter. No, it came out in the... Yeah. And so we've already... Well, did inauguration come out? It didn't come out of the 19 budget. It would have come out of the 18 budget.
No, we always augment the budget. That's an election year budget with that. Those dollars. And I don't know what's been allocated in the past for inauguration. Did anybody have the ability to check on that?
Do you know? 5,000.
Which?
No, it was more than that because we looked at that. Gosh, I'm sorry. I wonder if I've got my notes still.
In a non chief election year?
I'm sorry. I wish I could speak to that right now. I know we looked at it. And we talked about that as opposed to a chief election year, as opposed to a non-chief election year. But it seemed it was more than 5,000. We'll get that information together again. I thought I had it in my notes, but I don't.
So we need to add inauguration here. And you say the women's event?
Yes.
So in conferences, conventions, and meetings, we do have women in leadership reception for 5,000, in congressional meetings, hearings, and events for 25,000, which makes it 30,000.
Okay, so that doesn't need to be added in then.
And if I remember right, didn't Dana say that the executive branch paid for a big portion of the inauguration?
In a chief
selection? No, executive branch does not pay for the congressional inauguration.
Is it a split cost?
It won't be a split cost this election because it's just a congressional
just
election.
Congressional, just
election.
Us.
Right.
Okay. And you said we have 12? No, we had 25.
We budgeted 25 for congressional meetings, hearings, and events.
Oh, that's okay. That's bigger than, includes other things besides the inauguration.
So what all does that include right now, the 25? Is it broken out?
The meetings, hearings, and events.
Meetings, so, hearings, and events.
Congressman Walker.
Well, if we're going to compare it to what we've done in the past, I mean, we like whenever we really did utilize these, we tried to get more where we budget what we used the previous year. And if there's not a lot of additional expenses or things that we expect to happen next year, we're at 82%. Remaining in the budget with 4 months left.
On conferences?
In that line item.
Mm-hmm. Shannon?
A lot of our cost for conferences, special events and meetings has to do with items that we purchase for session.
Okay.
So anything that we purchase for session that, or for committee meetings or special things that we're having as a body, we purchase it out of that line.
So we could cut that line. We could cut that line. We could take a percentage out of it. But I think it's one of those line items where there's a buffer in there in the case something happens. So it's inflated a little bit, I guess, in case there's hearings, in case there's other events that go on. If we don't need it, we don't use it. But if we do need it, it's there. So how does the committee feel? Do you want to cut it some?
I would hate to say yay or nay right now, unless we could maybe get a 3-year look-see, something like that.
And we could. They've got it broken out in spreadsheet, so we could look at the different expenditures for the year.
I don't know. I do believe that we're going to be faced with some difficult issues that we might need to have a good meeting budget and also good professional budget in this upcoming fiscal year. So I hate to cut that.
I just don't want to ask for any more money ever than what we budgeted in September.
I think that was the conclusion I really came to after I went through this with the staff and we actually looked at some of the expenditures and stuff, is that it's a healthy budget. It's not a huge inflation, and the money does just roll back. And that way we're covered if we have anything special come up. We hope not to have anything special come up, but if we do, it's there. Did you have something, Ms. Snead?
Yes. So if you leave the budget as it is, then there is $36,000 remaining. So that is a portion you could cut. That's what you...
And part of that, though, we are talking about, we're probably going to need some new equipment on some things.
That the equipment...
What's the equipment line right now?
$15,000.
97% remaining in that one.
That's right. We haven't done that, so we need to maybe try to do something. Huh?
Order what?
Go ahead and order whatever it is that we're needing, and I don't have that list in front of me either. Somebody's
right, what's needed out of this budget,
and we could maybe
cut back on 20's budget.
Well, 20's budget's going to include... New computers for Congress and a couple for staff. So we could go ahead and, I guess, order staff, push them up.
I would.
Go ahead and get that done. OFPR, whatever they're going to need to do.
Are we talking about 19 budget or 20 budget?
20 budget.
20 budget.
The 20 budget. We're comparing it with the 19, but the 20 budget.
Well, I would move to increase the equipment line by $15,000.
Now, this won't come under equipment. This would probably come under, I'm trying to think, under professional fees. If we are looking at the software, additional software.
Granicus.
For Granicus. There's going to be some in there, which we could shift. We could shift.
Well, right now, I'm talking about equipment. You guys said they had 36,000, right?
Yeah.
So we could put 15 in equipment, 10 in professional fees if we actually need it, and then we'd still... decrease
our budget, and I would feel good about passing that since we have a deadline of July 15th, don't we? Yeah. So 15 to equipment, and what was the other thing? 15 to something else?
Professional fees.
Well, 10. I said 10 for granted, because is it going to be more than that?
We don't know. I'd say we'll go with the 10 and put that in professional fees.
And then that would still leave us with a budget that's lower than last year, wouldn't it, under the threshold?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, Ms. Snead.
Also, I wanted to point out on the OFPR budget, just to bring it to your all's attention. Where is it? On the space cost. I asked how that was calculated, and depending on where we put them, if this was going to be enough. So she wasn't sure, since we don't know where they're going to be. But right. I just want to bring that to your attention, space costs for OPR.
Well, this is all the space we've got right now, so it should already be included in our congressional space costs.
Okay. And then, only because it was kind of talked about before, wages.
Yeah.
So just want to bring that to you.
Yeah.
So what was the discussion on wages previous?
My discussion is that wasn't enough for what we were asking for. That was my feelings. But I think there was no movement. So I'd leave it there.
Okay. That's really an office we need to get filled.
Yes, and when we get to executive, I've got some new information.
Okay, good deal. I think I agree with...
I made a motion.
Yeah, you didn't get a second, so that was to put 15 into
equipment
and
10
into professional fees. And so that's 25 of the 36 that we had, and we're still coming in under what our allocation was
by resolution, correct?
Yes. Now, we've got those adjustments. I think those are wrong on two of those positions of Congress, and that might take up the rest of that.
Okay.
For speaker and second speaker. So we'll have to check into that. Congressman Walker?
Well, I would just say on the salaries and wages, I mean, that's just a worksheet. I mean, I'm not trying to be, because it is a total amount, and I think it would be very close to what it
actually is. Okay. Could be.
Maybe miss it by, if that's the case, just looking at it, might miss it by $5,000 tops.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was confused with Congresswoman Edwards. You said add 25,000 or add 10,000 to equipment acquisition.
No, 15.
Add 15, so make it 30 instead of 15. And then you said,
yes.
And the other part of your motion was what?
10,000 to professional
add
fees.
To whatever the line item, I think it's professional fees.
For
the grammar.
Yeah, for the software.
I don't, I mean, we're talking about add 10 to 200, and what's the total? Where's the budgeted amount for the proposed amount? Professional fees.
And I am flexible with not doing that too.
Yeah, I am too. I don't think that's necessary. I could.
Okay.
I wouldn't have an issue with the adding 10 for the possibility of Granicus, but I didn't hear a lot of optimism in Trey's tone about Granicus. But.
Well, I would hate to wait a whole year. Because if Granicus is not going to fulfill the needs we have, we're going to keep looking for something. It's not the only software out there.
Of course, so, I wouldn't wait a whole year. I'd figure it out and utilize this year.
And we're trying to. We are trying to maybe get it in this year and obligate it. But did you say, Ms. C, did you say our 289, though, was calculated out, and that's what it comes to with the current contracts that we have, current professional fees?
That's how we budgeted for last year.
Okay.
It was broken out last year.
And we're at where? We still got 80% left?
216,000 out of 289.
Huh, I wonder, does it have everything in it?
How can that be?
I know, that's
how
what I'm thinking. With.
It's through May.
But still, we have council and we have, we had code, the coding software. Is it up to date? As far as being payments?
It should be up to date as far as payments. I mean, I know we have, I just submitted them all the stuff from the special session, so they're going to be sending us a bill again pretty soon.
Also, we haven't had any additional legal fees this year. This year.
Okay.
So,
that may be
the
difference right there.
To me, but it's always important because this is the only budget we have to draw on. So if we don't leave those dollars there or augment it, then we just don't have it.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I came to at the end is it's a nice budget. We should be able to cover if any emergencies come up or any specials come up. And anything we don't spend.
The worksheet gets changed to reflect the salary of the speaker and second speaker since we know what it is.
Okay, thank you. We will do that. So probably what I'll have to do is within the next, what is this? This is the 8th, probably next week or something. I'll need to set another meeting so we can go through and approve things. Unless you all want to approve it with amendments.
Can I withdraw and reassert my motion to add $15,000 to equipment only?
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion on that movement? Seeing none, all in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Okay. All right, so we'll move $15,000. That still leaves us with $20-something thousand. Congressman Walker.
I think we're real close on what the worksheet says, and I don't really think another meeting would be necessary. I mean,
just make those two adjustments. And
even if the budget is submitted before the 15th, like this, I mean, it's
going to be real close, and we can make those amendments.
Okay.
Any time between now and the end of the
budgeting
session.
I do have a motion to add $5,000 to the salaries line item, though, for the speaker and second speaker.
Second.
Have any issue with that? Okay. Motion and a second. Any further discussion on that? Questions? I agree with you. That'll probably cover any problems that we might come up against. All in favor?
Yes.
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 All right.
Move to authorize the second speaker to submit the legislative budget as amended today, as the budget submission of the legislative branch.
Second.
Any discussion on that motion? Congressman Whitewarden.
As amended today, is that what you said, Shannon?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I would agree that we need to go ahead and just get this
done
sure. And not have to worry about a future meeting. I know I'm not going to be available, so
okay.
I don't know if you'll have
if we can do it today, I am grateful for that. So.
Okay. I'm good with the adjustments that we've made to it.
Congressman Walker, anything?
Good.
All right. All in favor?
Yes.
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 Thank you. All right. Well, we got through that actually faster than I even dreamed possible. So at this time, the next thing on the agenda is to go into executive session. Could I get a motion?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Will you state the purpose of, I'll state the purpose since I moved it for personnel issues.
Yes.
That to be on the record.
All right. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Give us just a minute.
This chair is way low.
Yeah. Is speaker still here, or did he leave?